The scripture reading this morning, it comes from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, and the last few verses from this book, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the field yields no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and makes me tread upon the heights. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lots of quotes. You can step to the pulpit and quote, and you'll see people nod or familiarity will come around them. I'm going to offer you one of those quotes this morning. No man is an island. Any man's death diminishes me because I'm involved in mankind, and therefore, never send and know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Most people would attribute that to Ernest Hemingway, and he did borrow it for his book, his novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls. But actually, the quote belongs to a theologian, John Donne. I believe that it's true. On September the 11th, 2001, 2,996 people died. American people, people that had shown up for work, people that were about their everyday lives, and another 6,000 were injured when evil, pure evil, reared its ugly head. Our world changed that day forevermore. It became a different normal. Yet we did then and we do now know that God is still on the throne, and so we did and we do rejoice in the Lord, the God of our salvation. There are some days in history that you live through, but you will never, ever, ever forget. You'll know exactly where you were when you first heard about it. You can recall that. When you are very old and in a nursing home someplace, there are just days in our personal histories that are like that. Pearl Harbor Day for some people. The day John Kennedy was shot for some of us. Sandy Hook. We never forget. Kent State shootings. We never forget. And those days for us are happening more and more until we are almost immune to them. We turn on the news, and when the news flash happens, we reach and turn it off because it's just more of the same anymore. Always, the shock diminishes as time goes on. And the old saying that time heals, I have never believed is true, but it does make things more bearable. After days like that, Pearl Harbor Day, 9/11, we never forget the day, and the world is never quite the same. Habakkuk was a prophet who railed against the Babylonians and the Persians, mostly the Babylonians. He knew they were growing, as in the world he lived in, there were a growing power there. He knew that they were going to eventually take over. He knew they would probably take over the Israelites in the very near future, and he was exactly right. He was a landowner. He had an estate. Somehow or another, he finagled a way to stay there on his land, even when Israel was exiled in a few years, but his life was never easy. There were atrocities all around him. His world changed. He was in a prison, but it did not have bars. He was forced to bow to a higher power, but he would never bow to another god. In the midst of visions that he was given, the takeover, the consequences, the atrocities, the uncertainties, the unknown future that was before him, he wrote this. Although the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, like the deer's feet. He sets me on the mountaintops. He makes me tread upon the heights. I wonder, when I look at my grandchildren, if there will ever be a generation who does not have a day that will change the world, that they will always remember. 15 years since the World Trade Center North and South Towers was intentionally exploded by two airplanes, one United Airlines Flight 175 and one American Airlines flight also was hijacked. At that point, everybody in the world knew that it was intentional. It was a tragedy, a catastrophe when the first tower was hit. It was war declared when the second tower was hit. 15 years since American Airlines Flight 77 was hijacked and crashed into the Pentagon. Years since United Airlines Flight 53 was hijacked by evil men and then hijacked back by brave heroes, men and women, who intentionally crashed that plane that was headed to Washington, D.C., into a field in Stony Creek Township very near Shankville, Pennsylvania. They did that to save the White House, the Capitol building, or a thousand other things. I remember people crowding into the church that day just to pray at the altar. We immediately opened the church. Don was in a Bible study. I went and told him what was going on. We didn't have a TV in the church other than ones we could play videos on. And so we rounded up a portable TV we could hook up to, and we watched as a church family. But the sanctuary had to be opened immediately. And we sent word out to local TV and radio stations, the sanctuary is open. And there was a steady stream of people. that came and knelt at the altar of the church and began to pray. They didn't know what else to do. Our offices had a steady stream of people who asked questions that could not be answered. We didn't go to lunch that day because we couldn't get away from the people that were in our offices, but we weren't hungry anyway. It didn't matter. You could taste the fear in the room. And then the words of this prophet who lived so very long ago began to comfort us and the people who came to us. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord always, and I will wrap the God of my salvation, who is still on the throne, around me, around my family, around my friends, around my country. I will trust in the Lord. September the 11th, 2001, was on a Tuesday. The rest of that week was a blur as we began to put together memorial services and services of comfort and encouragement services and open the doors of the church and keep them open and have prayer vigils. And Sunday was coming. That's the thing about preaching. Sunday comes right regular. It doesn't matter what else happened. Sunday's coming. On that September 15th, 2001, Sunday morning, our church was packed. I know Chamblee was packed. Every other church was packed. People who had a lot of faith were there to pray and to rejoice in the Lord. They had no place else to turn. The people who had a little faith were there to pray and to try to find a little more faith. They had no place else to turn. And the people who didn't have faith at all didn't know what to do, and so they came to try to figure out what to do. They had no place else to go. Everyone knew their world would never be the same, but the people of faith were the only ones who were able to really find any kind of peace that day. The only peace in the world that Tuesday and that Sunday and any day you want to name is found in the arms of Jesus and in the knowledge that God is still on the throne. Patriotism. Our love of this great country must no longer be defined in our proficiency to tear down our enemies, but instead it must be found in our commitment to the ideals for which so many Americans, shining beacons of hope and light, have offered their lives. The spilled blood of our heroes, whom we remember here today, deserve no less. I'm proud this day to be an American. I'm proud and humble to be a Christian and to pronounce it boldly in the hope that someone who does not know our Lord will learn of him. I believe the streets of heaven are filled with the heroes of those who lost their lives that day and other days, and with heroes who have always responded. The air traffic controllers, do you realize that they cleared the skies in less than 30 minutes? They landed every plane. Our airspace was absolutely clear. There was no more threat that day. The firefighters that ran into the fire and damaged buildings instead of away from them, the first responders, the cops, the everyday Joes and Jills that helped others risking their own lives, the cab drivers, the doctors, the nurses, the Waffle House waitresses, the plumbers, the electricians. We banded together. We had been wounded, but not fatally. We were on our knees, but we would rise again. It was obvious that when we were called upon to be shoulder to shoulder, that's exactly what would happen in this country and in our churches. The church took her rightful place. It was the only place we could go. Because God was and is still on the throne. I believe that we can, and some people do, rejoice in the Lord always in spite of the circumstance. Those are the faithful. And I believe it doesn't take a day like 9/11 to change our worlds, but a day when someone in our family, someone we love, someone we think we can't live without, dies. Or a divorce happens that we did not want or anticipate and were blindsided when it came upon us. Or a financial disaster that means our home is gone and we don't know how we're going to get by, and we find ourselves, instead of living comfortably, living paycheck to paycheck at best. Or a house fire takes everything that we have gathered, everything that we have collected, everything that is sentimental, everything that gives us our history. Or an illness must be fought. But I believe that we can still trust God, and that peace can still come, and that our only hope is in the God of our salvation.
At 9:37, all of our lives were interrupted a third time as we heard that another plane hit the Pentagon.
Fred Craddock says that in heaven there will be no need for children's pictures to be on milk cartons. It is a good and joyful thing that we have a future and eternal hope. That means we have a time to look forward to that will indeed have no more crying, no more mourning, no more lost children, no more lost lives. No need for military then. We will think of war no more. All because God is our strength and our salvation. Because God has us in spite of any circumstance in the palm of His hand. I believe those people of faith that crowded the churches 15 years ago, and those people of just a little faith that crowded the churches looking for more, and those people who had no faith at all but knew they could come to church and find somebody that did, I believe that those people are better people for bowing on their knees. I'm inviting you to do that again this day without the crisis, without being driven there. I believe our churches, I believe this church needs to reach out to those people of little or no faith and help them grow so they can reach out to others. It's time to do it again, fall on our knees and turn our face toward God. I believe that we all need to pray for our country, for our leaders, for the world leaders, just like we did that day. Today, there is no better day than to do that. The altar of the Methodist Church is always open to you, and you are invited to make an altar of your pew if you're immobile or embarrassed to come forward. But would you please pray this day for guidance and for peace and for wisdom? And would you please take a line or two of that prayer and thank God for God's steady hand that holds us safely in spite of any circumstance? If there are those who would like to officially join this fellowship, Would you just step forward during the closing hymn that's found on page 428, during the last verse of that hymn?